Aaron, why are you keeping these people from working? Look how many you are keeping from doing their work. Now, everyone, get back to work. That same day, the king gave orders to his slave bosses and to the men directly in charge of the Israelite slaves. He told them, "Don't give the slaves any more straw to put in their bricks. Force them to find their own straw wherever they can. But they must make the same number of bricks as before. They are lazy, or else they would not beg me to let them go and sacrifice to their God. Make them work so hard that they won't have time to listen to these lies." The slave bosses and the men in charge of the slaves went out and told them, "The king says he will not give you any more straw. Go and find your own straw wherever you can, but you must still make as many bricks as before." The slaves went all over Egypt looking for straw. But the slave bosses were hard on them and kept saying, "Each day you have to make as many bricks as you did when you were given straw." The bosses beat the men in charge of the slaves and said, "Why didn't you force the slaves to make as many bricks yesterday and today as they did before?" Finally, the men in charge of the slaves went to the king and said, "Why are you treating us like this? No one brings us any straw, but we are still ordered to make the same number of bricks. We are beaten with whips, and your own people are to blame." The king replied, "You are lazy, nothing but lazy. That's why you keep asking me to let you go and sacrifice to your Lord. Get back to work. You won't be given straw, but you must still make the same number of bricks." The men knew they were in deep trouble when they were ordered to make the same number of bricks each day. After they left the king, they went to see Moses and Aaron, who had been waiting for them. Then the men said, "We hope the Lord will punish both of you for making the king and his officials hate us. Now they even have an excuse to kill us." The Lord's Promise to Moses. Moses left them and prayed, "Our Lord, why have you brought so much trouble on your people? Is that why you sent me here? Ever since you told me to speak to the king, he has caused nothing but trouble for these people, and you haven't done a thing to help." Chapter 6. The Lord God told Moses, "Soon you will see what I will do to the king. Because of my mighty power, he will let my people go, and he will even chase them out of his country. My name is the Lord. But when I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I came as God all-powerful and did not use my name. I made an agreement and promised them the land of Canaan where they were living as foreigners. Now I have seen how the people of Israel are suffering because of the Egyptians, and I will keep my promise. Here is my message for Israel. I am the Lord, and with my mighty power I will punish the Egyptians and free you from slavery. I will accept you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I was the one who rescued you from the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I solemnly promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it will be yours. I am the Lord." When Moses told this to the Israelites, they were too discouraged and mistreated to believe him. Then the Lord told Moses to demand that the king of Egypt let the Israelites leave. But Moses replied, "I'm not a powerful speaker. If the Israelites won't listen to me, why should the king of Egypt?" But the Lord sent Aaron and Moses with a message for the Israelites and for the king. He also ordered Aaron and Moses to free the people from Egypt. Family Record of Aaron and Moses. The following men were the heads of their ancestral clans. The sons of Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, were Hanok, Pallu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jakin, Zohar, and Sheol, the son of a Canaanite woman. Levi lived to be 137. His sons were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Gershon's sons were Libni and Shimei. Kohath lived to be 133. His sons were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Merari's sons were Mahlai and Nushai. All of the above were from the Levi tribe. Amram lived to be 137. He married his father's sister, Jochebed, and they had two sons, Aaron and Moses. Izhar's sons were Korah, Nepheg, and Zichri. Uzziel's sons were Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sithri. Aaron married Elisheba. She was the daughter of Aminadab and the sister of Nashon. They had four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Korah's sons were Aser, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. Aaron's son, Eleazar, married one of Putiel's daughters, and their son was Phinehas. This ends the list of those who were the heads of clans in the Levi tribe. The Lord had commanded Aaron and Moses to lead every family and tribe of Israel out of Egypt, and so they ordered the king of Egypt to set the people of Israel free. The Lord commands Moses and Aaron to speak to the king. When the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, he said, "I am the Lord. Tell the king of Egypt everything I say to you." But Moses answered, "You know I am a very poor speaker, and the king will never listen to me." Chapter 7 The Lord said, "I am going to let your brother Aaron speak for you. He will tell your message to the king, just as a prophet speaks my message to the people. Tell Aaron everything I say to you, and he will order the king to let my people leave his country. But I will make the king so stubborn that he won't listen to you. He won't listen even when I do many terrible things to him and his nation. Then I will bring a final punishment on Egypt, and the king will let Israel's families and tribes go. When this happens, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." Moses and Aaron obeyed the Lord and spoke to the king. At the time, Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83. A stick turns into a snake. The Lord said, "Moses, when the king asks you and Aaron to perform a miracle, command Aaron to throw his walking stick down in front of the king, and it will turn into a snake." Moses and Aaron went to the king and his officials, and did exactly as the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw the stick down, and it turned into a snake. Then the king called in the wise men and the magicians, who used their secret powers to do the same thing. They threw down sticks that turned into snakes. But Aaron's snake swallowed theirs. The king behaved just as the Lord had said, and stubbornly refused to listen. The Nile River turns into blood. The Lord said to Moses, "The Egyptian king stubbornly refuses to change his mind and let the people go. Tomorrow morning, take the stick that turned into a snake, then wait beside the Nile River for the king. Tell him, 'The Lord God of the Hebrews sent me to order you to release his people, so they can worship him in the desert. But until now you have paid no attention. The Lord is going to do something to show you that he really is the Lord. I will strike the Nile with this stick, and the water will turn into blood. The fish will die, the river will stink, and none of you Egyptians will be able to drink the water. Moses, then command Aaron to hold his stick over the water, and when he does, every drop of water in Egypt will turn into blood, including rivers, canals, ponds, and even the water in buckets and jars." Moses and Aaron obeyed the Lord. Aaron held out his stick, then struck the Nile, as the king and his officials watched. The river turned into blood, the fish died, and the water smelled so bad that none of the Egyptians could drink it. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians used their secret powers to do the same thing. The king did just as the Lord had said. He stubbornly refused to listen. Then he went back to his palace and never gave it a second thought. The Egyptians had to dig holes along the banks of the Nile for drinking water because water from the river was unfit to drink. Frogs. Chapter 8. 7 days after the Lord had struck the Nile, he said to Moses, "Go to the palace and tell the king of Egypt that I order him to let my people go so they can worship me. If he refuses, I will cover his entire country with frogs. Warn the king that the Nile will be full of frogs, and from there they will spread into the royal palace, including the king's bedroom and even his bed. Frogs will enter the homes of his officials and will find their way into ovens and into the bowls of bread dough. Frogs will be crawling on everyone, the king, his officials, and every citizen of Egypt. Moses, now command Aaron to hold his stick over the water. Then frogs will come from all rivers, canals, and ponds in Egypt, and they will cover the land." Aaron obeyed. And suddenly, frogs were everywhere in Egypt. But the magicians used their secret powers to do the same thing. The king sent for Moses and Aaron and told them, "If you ask the Lord to take these frogs away from me and my people, I will let your people go and offer sacrifices to him." "All right," Moses answered. "You choose the time when I am to pray for the frogs to stop bothering you, your officials and your people, and for them to leave your houses and be found only in the river." "Do it tomorrow," the king replied. "As you wish," Moses agreed. "Then everyone will discover that there is no God like the Lord, and frogs will no longer be found anywhere except in the Nile." After Moses and Aaron left the palace, Moses begged the Lord to do something about the frogs he had sent as punishment for the king. The Lord listened to Moses, and frogs died everywhere, in houses, yards, and fields. The dead frogs were placed in piles, and the whole country began to stink. But when the king saw that things were now better, he again did just as the Lord had said and stubbornly refused to listen to Moses and Aaron. Gnats. The Lord said to Moses, "Command Aaron to strike the ground with his walking stick, and everywhere in Egypt the dust will turn into gnats." They obeyed, and when Aaron struck the ground with the stick, gnats started swarming on people and animals. In fact, every speck of dust in Egypt turned into a gnat. When the magicians tried to use their secret powers to do this, they failed, and gnats stayed on people and animals. The magicians told the king, "God has done this." But as the Lord had said, the king was too stubborn to listen. Flies. The Lord said to Moses, "Early tomorrow morning, while the king is on his way to the river, go and say to him, 'The Lord commands you to let his people go so they can worship him.' If you don't, he will send swarms of flies to attack you, your officials, and every citizen of your country. Houses will be full of flies, and the ground will crawl with them. The Lord's people in Goshen won't be bothered by flies, but your people in the rest of the country will be tormented by them. That's how you will know that the Lord is here in Egypt. This miracle will happen tomorrow." The Lord kept his promise. The palace and the homes of the royal officials swarmed with flies, and the rest of the country was infested with them as well. Then the king sent for Moses and Aaron and told them, "Go sacrifice to your God, but stay here in Egypt." "That's impossible," Moses replied. "Any sacrifices we offer to the Lord our God would disgust the Egyptians, and they would stone us to death. No, indeed, the Lord has ordered us to walk 3 days into the desert before offering sacrifices to him, and that's what we have to do. Then the king told him, I'll let you go into the desert to offer sacrifices, if you don't go very far, but in the meantime, pray for me. Your Majesty, Moses replied, I'll pray for you as soon as I leave, and by tomorrow the flies will stop bothering you, your officials, and the citizens of your country. Only make sure that you're telling the truth this time, and that you really intend to let our people offer sacrifices to the Lord. After leaving the palace, Moses prayed, and the Lord answered his prayer. Not a fly was left to pester the king, his officials, or anyone else in Egypt. But the king turned stubborn again, and would not let the people go. Dead Animals. Chapter 9. The Lord sent Moses with this message for the king of Egypt. The Lord God of the Hebrews commands you to let his people go so they can worship him. If you keep refusing, he will bring a terrible disease on your horses and donkeys, your camels and cattle, and your sheep and goats. But the Lord will protect the animals that belong to the people of Israel, and none of theirs will die. Tomorrow is the day the Lord has set to do this. It happened the next day. All of the animals belonging to the Egyptians died, but the Israelites did not lose even one. When the king found out, he was still too stubborn to let the people go. Sores. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Take a few handfuls of ashes from a stove, and have Moses throw them into the air. Be sure the king is watching. The ashes will blow across the land of Egypt, causing sores to break out on people and animals. So they took a few handfuls of ashes and went to the king. Moses threw them into the air, and sores immediately broke out on the Egyptians and their animals. The magicians were suffering so much from the sores that they could not even come to Moses. Everything happened just as the Lord had told Moses. He made the king too stubborn to listen to Moses and Aaron. Hailstones. The Lord told Moses to get up early the next morning and say to the king, The Lord God of the Hebrews commands you to let his people go so they can worship him. If you don't, he will send his worst plagues to strike you, your officials, and everyone else in your country. Then you will find out that no one can oppose the Lord. In fact, he could already have sent a terrible disease and wiped you from the face of the earth. But he has kept you alive just to show you his power and to bring honor to himself everywhere in the world. You are still determined not to let the Lord's people go. All right, at this time tomorrow, he will bring on Egypt the worst hailstorm in its history. You had better give orders for every person and every animal in Egypt to take shelter. If they don't, they will die. Some of the king's officials were frightened by what the Lord had said, and they hurried off to make sure their slaves and animals were safe. But others paid no attention to his threats, and left their slaves and animals out in the open. Then the Lord told Moses, Stretch your arm toward the sky, so that hailstones will fall on people, animals, and crops in the land of Egypt. Moses pointed his walking stick toward the sky, and hailstones started falling everywhere. Thunder roared, and lightning flashed back and forth, striking the ground. This was the worst storm in the history of Egypt. People, animals, and crops were pounded by the hailstones, and bark was stripped from trees. Only Goshen, where the Israelites lived, was safe from the storm. The king sent for Moses and Aaron and told them, Now I have really sinned. My people and I are guilty, and the Lord is right. We can't stand any more of this thunder and hail. Please ask the Lord to make it stop. Your people can go. You don't have to stay in Egypt any longer. Moses answered, As soon as I leave the city, I will lift my arms in prayer. When the thunder and hail stop, you will know that the earth belongs to the Lord. But I am certain that neither you nor your officials really fear the Lord God. Meanwhile, the flax and barley crops had been destroyed by the storm because they were ready to ripen. But the wheat crops ripened later, and they were not damaged. After Moses left the royal palace in the city, he lifted his arms in prayer to the Lord, and the thunder, hail, and drenching rain stopped. When the king realized that the storm was over, he disobeyed once more. He and his officials were so stubborn that he refused to let the Israelites go. This was exactly what the Lord had said would happen. Locusts. Chapter 10. The Lord said to Moses, "Go back to the king. I have made him and his officials stubborn so that I could work these miracles. I did this because I want you to tell your children and your grandchildren about my miracles and about my harsh treatment of the Egyptians. Then all of you will know that I am the Lord." Moses and Aaron went to the king and told him that the Lord God of the Hebrews had said, "How long will you stubbornly refuse to obey? Release my people so they can worship me. Do this by tomorrow, or I will cover your country with so many locusts that you won't be able to see the ground. Most of your crops were ruined by the hailstones, but these locusts will destroy what little is left, including the trees. Your palace, the homes of your officials, and all other houses in Egypt will overflow with more locusts than have ever been seen in this country." After Moses left the palace, the king's officials asked, "Your Majesty, how much longer is this man going to be a troublemaker? Why don't you let the people leave so they can worship the Lord their God? Don't you know that Egypt is a disaster?" The king had Moses and Aaron brought back, and he said, "All right, you may go and worship the Lord your God, but first, tell me who will be going."
"Everyone, young and old," Moses answered. "We will even take our sheep, goats and cattle, because we want to hold a celebration in honor of the Lord."
The king replied, "The Lord had better watch over you on the day I let you leave with your families. You're up to no good. Do you want to worship the Lord? All right, take only the men and go." Then Moses and Aaron were chased out of the palace. The Lord told Moses, "Stretch your arm toward Egypt. Swarms of locusts will come and eat everything left by the hail." Moses held out his walking stick, and the Lord sent an east wind that blew across Egypt the rest of the day and all that night. By morning, locusts were swarming everywhere. Never before had there been so many locusts in Egypt, and never again will there be so many. The ground was black with locusts, and they ate everything left on the trees and in the fields. Nothing green remained in Egypt, not a tree or a plant. At once the king sent for Moses and Aaron. He told them, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Forgive me one more time and ask the Lord to stop these insects from killing every living plant." Moses left the palace and prayed. Then the Lord sent a strong west wind that swept the locusts into the Red Sea. Not one locust was left anywhere in Egypt. But the Lord made the king so stubborn that he still refused to let the Israelites go. Darkness. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch your arm toward the sky, and everything will be covered with darkness thick enough to touch." Moses stretched his arm toward the sky, and Egypt was covered with darkness for 3 days. During that time, the Egyptians could not see each other or leave their homes, but there was light where the Israelites lived. The king sent for Moses and told him, "Go, worship the Lord, and take your families with you. Just leave your sheep, goats, and cattle."
"No," Moses replied. "You must let us offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. And we won't know which animals we will need until we get there. That's why we can't leave even one of them here." This time, the Lord made the king so stubborn that he said to Moses,
"Get out and stay out. If you ever come back, you're dead."
"Have it your way," Moses answered. "You won't see me again."
Moses warns the Egyptians that the Lord will kill their firstborn sons. Chapter 11. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to punish the king of Egypt and his people one more time. Then the king will gladly let you leave his land, so that I will stop punishing the Egyptians. He will even chase you out. Now go and tell my people to ask their Egyptian neighbors for gold and silver jewelry. So the Lord made the Egyptians greatly respect the Israelites, and everyone, including the king and his officials, considered Moses an important leader. Moses went to the king and said, I have come to let you know what the Lord is going to do. About midnight, he will go through the land of Egypt, and wherever he goes, the firstborn son in every family will die. Your own son will die, and so will the son of the lowest slave woman. Even the firstborn males of cattle will die. Everywhere in Egypt, there will be loud crying. Nothing like this has ever happened before or will ever happen again. But there won't be any need for the Israelites to cry. Things will be so quiet that not even a dog will be heard barking. Then you Egyptians will know that the Lord is good to the Israelites even while he punishes you. Your leaders will come and bow down, begging me to take my people and leave your country. Then we will leave. Moses was very angry. He turned and left the king. What the Lord had earlier said to Moses came true. He had said, The king of Egypt won't listen. Then I will perform even more miracles. So the king of Egypt saw Moses and Aaron work miracles, but the Lord made him stubbornly refuse to let the Israelites leave his country. The Passover. Chapter 12. Sometime later, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, This month is to be the first month of the year for you. Tell the people of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, the head of each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for his family to eat. If any family is too small to eat the whole animal, they must share it with their next-door neighbors. Choose either a sheep or a goat, but it must be a one-year-old male that has nothing wrong with it, and it must be large enough for everyone to have some of the meat. Each family must take care of its animal until the evening of the 14th day of the month when the animals are to be killed. Some of the blood must be put on the two doorposts and above the door of each house where the animals are to be eaten. That night, the animals are to be roasted and eaten, together with bitter herbs and thin bread made without yeast. Don't eat the meat raw or boiled. The entire animal, including its head, legs, and insides, must be roasted. Eat what you want that night, and the next morning burn whatever is left. When you eat the meal, be dressed and ready to travel. Have your sandals on, carry your walking stick in your hand, and eat quickly. This is the Passover festival in honor of me, your Lord. That same night I will pass through Egypt and kill the firstborn son in every family and the firstborn male of all animals. I am the Lord, and I will punish the gods of Egypt. The blood on the houses will show me where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Then you won't be bothered by the terrible disasters I will bring on Egypt. Remember this day, and celebrate it each year as a festival in my honor. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast, and on the first of these 7 days you must remove all yeast from your homes. If you eat anything made with yeast during this festival, you will no longer be part of Israel. Meet together for worship on the first and seventh days of the festival. The only work you are allowed to do on either of these 2 days is that of preparing the bread. Celebrate this festival of thin bread as a way of remembering the day that I brought your families and tribes out of Egypt, and do this each year. Begin on the evening of the 14th day of the first month by eating bread made without yeast. Then continue this celebration until the evening of the 21st day. During these 7 days, no yeast is allowed in anyone's home, whether they are native Israelites or not. If you are caught eating anything made with yeast, you will no longer be part of Israel. Stay away from yeast, no matter where you live. No one is allowed to eat anything made with yeast. Moses called the leaders of Israel together and said, "Each family is to pick out a sheep and kill it for Passover. Make a brush from a few small branches of a hyssop plant, and dip the brush in the bowl that has the blood of the animal in it. Then brush some of the blood above the door and on the posts at each side of the door of your house. After this, everyone is to stay inside. During that night, the Lord will go through the country of Egypt and kill the firstborn son in every Egyptian family. He will see where you have put the blood, and he will not come into your house. His angel that brings death will pass over and not kill your firstborn sons. After you have entered the country promised to you by the Lord, you and your children must continue to celebrate Passover each year. Your children will ask you, 'What are we celebrating?' And you will answer, 'The Passover animal is killed to honor the Lord. We do these things because on that night long ago, the Lord passed over the homes of our people in Egypt. He killed the firstborn sons of the Egyptians, but he saved our children from death.'" After Moses finished speaking, the people of Israel knelt down and worshipped the Lord. Then they left and did what Moses and Aaron had told them to do. Death for the firstborn sons. At midnight, the Lord killed the firstborn son of every Egyptian family, from the son of the king to the son of every prisoner in jail. He also killed the firstborn male of every animal that belonged to the Egyptians. That night the king, his officials, and everyone else in Egypt got up and started crying bitterly. In every Egyptian home, someone was dead. The people of Israel escaped from Egypt. During the night, the king sent for Moses and Aaron and told them, "Get your people out of my country and leave us alone. Go and worship the Lord as you have asked. Take your sheep, goats, and cattle and get out. But ask your God to be kind to me." The Egyptians did everything they could to get the Israelites to leave their country fast. They said, "Please hurry and leave. If you don't, we will all be dead." So the Israelites quickly made some bread dough and put it in pans. But they did not mix any yeast in the dough to make it rise. They wrapped cloth around the pans and carried them on their shoulders. The Israelites had already done what Moses had told them to do. They had gone to their Egyptian neighbors and asked for gold and silver and for clothes. The Lord had made the Egyptians friendly toward the people of Israel, and they gave them whatever they asked for. In this way, they carried away the wealth of the Egyptians when they left Egypt. The Israelites walked from the city of Ramesses to the city of Succoth. There were about 600,000 of them, not counting women and children. Many other people went with them as well, and there were also a lot of sheep, goats, and cattle. They left Egypt in such a hurry that they did not have time to prepare any food except the bread dough made without yeast. So they baked it and made thin bread. The Lord's people left Egypt exactly 430 years after they had arrived. On that night, the Lord kept watch for them, and on this same night each year, Israel will always keep watch in honor of the Lord. Instructions for Passover. The Lord gave Moses and Aaron the following instructions for celebrating Passover. No one except Israelites may eat the Passover meal. Your slaves may eat the meal if they have been circumcised, but no foreigners who work for you are allowed to have any. The entire meal must be eaten inside, and no one may leave the house during the celebration. No bones of the Passover lamb may be broken, and all Israelites must take part in the meal. If anyone who isn't an Israelite wants to celebrate Passover with you, every man and boy in that family must first be circumcised. Then they may join in the meal, just like native Israelites. No uncircumcised man or boy may eat the Passover meal. This law applies both to native Israelites and to those foreigners who live among you. The Israelites obeyed everything the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron to tell them.
And on that same day the Lord brought Israel's families and tribes out of Egypt.
Dedication of the Firstborn. Chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Dedicate to me the firstborn son of every family and the firstborn males of your flocks and herds. These belong to me."
The Festival of Thin Bread.
Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in the month of Abib. It is the day when the Lord's mighty power rescued you from Egypt, where you were slaves. Do not eat anything made with yeast. The Lord promised your ancestors that he would bring you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites. It is a land rich with milk and honey. Each year during the month of Abib, celebrate these events in the following way. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day you are to celebrate a festival in honor of the Lord. During those 7 days you must not eat anything made with yeast or even have yeast anywhere near your homes. Then, on the seventh day, you must explain to your children that you do this because the Lord brought you out of Egypt. This celebration will be like wearing a sign on your hand or on your forehead, because then you will pass on to others the teaching of the Lord whose mighty power brought you out of Egypt. Celebrate this festival each year at the same time. The Lord will give you the land of the Canaanites, just as he promised you and your ancestors. From then on you must give him every firstborn son from your families and every firstborn male from your animals, because these belong to him. You can save the life of a firstborn donkey by sacrificing a lamb. If you don't, you must break the donkey's neck. You must save every firstborn son. In the future, your children will ask what this ceremony means. Explain it to them by saying, 'The Lord used his mighty power to rescue us from slavery in Egypt. The king stubbornly refused to set us free, so the Lord killed the firstborn male of every animal and the firstborn son of every Egyptian family. This is why we sacrifice to the Lord every firstborn male of every animal and save every firstborn son. This ceremony will serve the same purpose as a sign on your hand or on your forehead to tell how the Lord's mighty power rescued us from Egypt.'"
The Lord leads his people. After the king had finally let the people go, the Lord did not lead them through Philistine territory, though that was the shortest way. God had said, "If they are attacked, they may decide to return to Egypt." So he led them around, through the desert and toward the Red Sea. The Israelites left Egypt, prepared for battle. Moses had them take along the bones of Joseph, whose dying words had been, "God will come to your rescue, and when he does, be sure to take along my bones." The people of Israel left Succoth and camped at Etham at the border of Egypt near the desert. During the day the Lord went ahead of his people in a thick cloud, and during the night he went ahead of them in a flaming fire. That way the Lord could lead them at all times, whether day or night. The Israelites crossed the Red Sea. Chapter 14. At Etham, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and camp across from Pi-Hahiroth near Baal-Zephon, between Migdal and the Red Sea. The king will think they were afraid to cross the desert, and that they are wandering around, trying to find another way to leave the country. I will make the king stubborn again, and he will try to catch you. Then I will destroy him and his army. People everywhere will praise me for my victory, and the Egyptians will know that I really am the Lord." The Israelites obeyed the Lord and camped where he told them. When the king of Egypt heard that the Israelites had finally left, he and his officials changed their minds and said, "Look what we have done. We let them get away, and they will no longer be our slaves." The king got his war chariot and army ready. He commanded his officers in charge of his 600 best chariots and all his other chariots to start after the Israelites.
The Lord made the king so stubborn that he went after them, even though the Israelites proudly went on their way. But the king's horses and chariots and soldiers caught up with them while they were camping by the Red Sea near Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon. When the Israelites saw the king coming with his army, they were frightened and begged the Lord for help. They also complained to Moses, "Wasn't there enough room in Egypt to bury us? Is that why you brought us out here to die in the desert? Why did you bring us out of Egypt anyway? While we were there, didn't we tell you to leave us alone? We had rather be slaves in Egypt than die in this desert." But Moses answered, "Don't be afraid. Be brave, and you will see the Lord save you today. These Egyptians will never bother you again. The Lord will fight for you, and you won't have to do a thing." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you keep calling out to me for help? Tell the Israelites to move forward, then hold your walking stick over the sea. The water will open up and make a road where they can walk through on dry ground. I will make the Egyptians so stubborn that they will go after you. Then I will be praised because of what happens to the king and his chariots and cavalry. The Egyptians will know for sure that I am the Lord." All this time, God's angel had gone ahead of Israel's army, but now he moved behind them. A large cloud had also gone ahead of them, but now it moved between the Egyptians and the Israelites. The cloud gave light to the Israelites, but made it dark for the Egyptians, and during the night they could not come any closer. Moses stretched his arm over the sea, and the Lord sent a strong east wind that blew all night until there was dry land where the water had been. The sea opened up, and the Israelites walked through on dry land with a wall of water on each side. The Egyptian chariots and cavalry went after them, but before daylight the Lord looked down at the Egyptian army from the fiery cloud and made them panic. Their chariot wheels got stuck, and it was hard for them to move. So the Egyptians said to one another, "Let's leave these people alone. The Lord is on their side and is fighting against us." The Lord told Moses, "Stretch your arm toward the sea. The water will cover the Egyptians and their cavalry and chariots." Moses stretched out his arm, and at daybreak the water rushed toward the Egyptians. They tried to run away, but the Lord drowned them in the sea. The water came and covered the chariots, the cavalry, and the whole Egyptian army that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them was left alive. But the sea had made a wall of water on each side of the Israelites. So they walked through on dry land. On that day, when the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore, they knew that the Lord had saved them. Because of the mighty power he had used against the Egyptians, the Israelites worshipped him and trusted him and his servant, Moses. The Song of Moses, Chapter 15. Moses and the Israelites sang this song in praise of the Lord. "I sing praises to the Lord for his great victory. He has thrown the horses and their riders into the sea. The Lord is my strength, the reason for my song, because he has saved me. I praise and honor the Lord. He is my God and the God of my ancestors. The Lord is his name, and he is a warrior. He threw the chariots and army of Egypt's king into the Red Sea, and he drowned the best of the king's officers. They sank to the bottom just like stones. With the tremendous force of your right arm, our Lord, you crushed your enemies. What a great victory was yours as you defeated everyone who opposed you. Your fiery anger wiped them out as though they were straw. You were so furious that the sea piled up like a wall and the ocean depths curdled like cheese. Your enemies boasted that they would pursue and capture us, divide up our possessions, treat us as they wished, then take out their swords and kill us right there. But when you got furious, they sank like lead, swallowed by ocean waves. Our Lord, no other gods compare with you. Majestic and holy, fearsome and glorious, miracle worker. When you signaled with your right hand, your enemies were swallowed deep into the earth. The people you rescued were led by your powerful love to your holy place. Nations learned of this and trembled. Philistines shook with horror. The leaders of Edom and Moab were terrified. Everyone in Canaan fainted, struck down by fear. Our Lord, your powerful arm kept them still as a rock until the people you rescued for your very own had marched by. You will let your people settle on your chosen mountain, where you built your home and your temple. Our Lord, you will rule forever. The Song of Miriam. The Lord covered the royal Egyptian cavalry and chariots with the sea, after the Israelites had walked safely through on dry ground. Miriam, the sister of Aaron, was a prophet. So she took her tambourine and led the other women out to play their tambourines and to dance. Then she sang to them, "Sing praises to the Lord for his great victory. He has thrown the horses and their riders into the sea." Bitter Water at Merah. After the Israelites left the Red Sea, Moses led them through the Shur desert for 3 days before finding water. They did find water at Merah, but it was bitter, which is how that place got its name. The people complained and said, "Moses, what are we going to drink?" Moses asked the Lord for help, and the Lord told him to throw a piece of wood into the water. Moses did so, and the water became fit to drink. At Merah, the Lord tested his people and also gave them some laws and teachings. Then he said, "I am the Lord your God, and I cure your diseases. If you obey me by doing right and by following my laws and teachings, I won't punish you with the diseases I sent on the Egyptians." Later, the Israelites came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. So they camped there. The Lord sends food from heaven. Chapter 16. On the 15th day of the second month after the Israelites had escaped from Egypt, they left Elim and started through the western edge of the Sinai desert in the direction of Mount Sinai. There in the desert they started complaining to Moses and Aaron, "We wish the Lord had killed us in Egypt. When we lived there, we could at least sit down and eat all the bread and meat we wanted. But you have brought us out here into this desert where we are going to starve." The Lord said to Moses, "I will send bread down from heaven like rain. Each day the people can go out and gather only enough for that day. That's how I will see if they obey me. But on the sixth day of each week, they must gather and cook twice as much." Moses and Aaron told the people, "This evening you will know that the Lord was the one who rescued you from Egypt, and in the morning you will see his glorious power, because he has heard your complaints against him. Why should you grumble to us? Who are we?" Then Moses continued, "You will know it is the Lord when he gives you meat each evening and more than enough bread each morning. He is really the one you are complaining about, not us. We are nobodies. But the Lord has heard your complaints." Moses turned to Aaron and said, "Bring the people together, because the Lord has heard their complaints." Aaron was speaking to them when everyone looked out toward the desert and saw the bright glory of the Lord in a cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard my people complain. Now tell them that each evening they will have meat, and each morning they will have more than enough bread. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God." That evening, a lot of quails came and landed everywhere in the camp, and the next morning dew covered the ground. After the dew had gone, the desert was covered with thin flakes that looked like frost. The people had never seen anything like this, and they started asking each other, "What is it?" Moses answered, "This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. And he orders you to gather about 2 quarts for each person in your family. That should be more than enough." they did as they were told. Some gathered more and some gathered less, according to their needs, and none was left over. Moses told them not to keep any overnight. Some of them disobeyed, but the next morning what they kept was stinking and full of worms, and Moses was angry. Each morning everyone gathered as much as they needed, and in the heat of the day the rest melted. However, on the sixth day of the week, everyone gathered enough to have 4 quarts instead of 2. When the leaders reported this to Moses, he told them that the Lord had said, "Tomorrow is the Sabbath, a sacred day of rest in honor of me. So gather all you want to bake or boil, and make sure you save enough for tomorrow." The people obeyed, and the next morning the food smelled fine and had no worms. "You may eat the food," Moses said. "Today is the Sabbath in honor of the Lord, and there won't be any of this food on the ground today. You will find it there for the first 6 days of the week, but not on the Sabbath." A few of the Israelites did go out to look for some, but there was none. Then the Lord said, "Moses, how long will you people keep disobeying my laws and teachings? Remember that I was the one who gave you the Sabbath. That's why on the sixth day I provide enough bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay home and rest on the Sabbath." And so they rested on the Sabbath. The Israelites called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and delicious as wafers made with honey. Moses told the people that the Lord had said, "Store up 2 quarts of this manna, because I want future generations to see the food I gave you during the time you were in the desert after I rescued you from Egypt." Then Moses told Aaron, "Put some manna in a jar and store it in the place of worship for future generations to see." Aaron followed the Lord's instructions and put the manna in front of the sacred chest for safekeeping. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years. Before they came to the border of Canaan, that was a settled land. The Lord gives water from a rock. Chapter 17. The Israelites left the desert and moved from one place to another each time the Lord ordered them to. Once they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for them to drink. The people started complaining to Moses, "Give us some water." Moses replied, "Why are you complaining to me and trying to put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty and kept on complaining. "Moses, did you bring us out of Egypt just to let us and our families and our animals die of thirst?" Then Moses prayed to the Lord, "What am I going to do with these people? They are about to stone me to death." The Lord answered, "Take some of the leaders with you, and go ahead of the rest of the people. Also, take along the walking stick you used to strike the Nile River, and when you get to the rock at Mount Sinai, I will be there with you. Strike the rock with the stick, and water will pour out for the people to drink." Moses did this while the leaders watched. The people had complained and tested the Lord by asking, "Is the Lord really with us?" So Moses named that place Massah, which means testing, and Meribah, which means complaining. Israel defeats the Amalekites. When the Israelites were at Rephidim, they were attacked by the Amalekites. So Moses told Joshua, "Have some men ready to attack the Amalekites tomorrow. I will stand on a hilltop holding this walking stick that has the power of God." Joshua led the attack as Moses had commanded, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur stood on the hilltop. The Israelites outfought the Amalekites as long as Moses held up his arms, but they started losing whenever he had to lower them. Finally, Moses was so tired that Aaron and Hur got a rock for him to sit on. Then they stood beside him and supported his arms in the same position until sunset. That's how Joshua defeated the Amalekites. Afterwards, the Lord said to Moses, "Write an account of this victory, and read it to Joshua. I want the Amalekites to be forgotten forever. Moses built an altar and named it, The Lord Gives Me Victory. Then Moses explained, This is because I depended on the Lord, but in future generations, the Lord will have to fight the Amalekites again. Jethro visits Moses. Chapter 18. Jethro was the priest of Midian and the father-in-law of Moses. And he heard what the Lord God had done for Moses and his people after rescuing them from Egypt. In the meantime, Moses had sent his wife Zipporah and her two sons to stay with Jethro, and he had welcomed them. Moses was still a foreigner in Midian when his first son was born, and so Moses said, I'll name him Gershom. When his second son was born, Moses said, I'll name him Eliezer, because the God my father worshipped has saved me from the king of Egypt. While Israel was camped in the desert near Mount Sinai, Jethro sent Moses this message. I am coming to visit you, and I am bringing your wife and two sons. When they arrived, Moses went out and bowed down in front of Jethro, then kissed him. After they had greeted each other, they went into the tent, where Moses told him everything the Lord had done to protect Israel against the Egyptians and their king. He also told him how the Lord had helped them in all of their troubles. Jethro was so pleased to hear this good news about what the Lord had done that he shouted, Praise the Lord! He rescued you and the Israelites from the Egyptians and their king. Now I know that the Lord is the greatest God because he has rescued Israel from their arrogant enemies. Jethro offered sacrifices to God. Then Aaron and Israel's leaders came to eat with Jethro there at the place of worship. Judges are appointed. The next morning, Moses sat down at the place where he decided legal cases for the people, and everyone crowded around him until evening. Jethro saw how much Moses had to do for the people, and he asked, Why are you the only judge? Why do you let these people crowd around you from morning till evening? Moses answered, Because they come here to find out what God wants them to do. They bring their complaints to me, and I make decisions on the basis of God's laws. Jethro replied, That isn't the best way to do it. You and the people who come to you will soon be worn out. The job is too much for one person. You can't do it alone. God will help you if you follow my advice. You should be the one to speak to God for the people, and you should teach them God's laws and show them what they must do to live right. You will need to appoint some competent leaders who respect God and are trustworthy and honest. Then put them over groups of 10, 50, 100, and 1,000. These judges can handle the ordinary cases and bring the more difficult ones to you. Having them to share the load will make your work easier. This is the way God wants it done. You won't be under nearly as much stress, and everyone else will return home feeling satisfied. Moses followed Jethro's advice. He chose some competent leaders from every tribe in Israel and put them over groups of 10, 50, 100, and 1,000. They served as judges, deciding the easy cases themselves but bringing the more difficult ones to Moses. After Moses and his father-in-law Jethro had said goodbye to each other, Jethro returned home. At Mount Sinai. Chapter 19. The Israelites left Rephidim. Then, 2 months after leaving Egypt, they arrived at the desert near Mount Sinai, where they set up camp at the foot of the mountain. Moses went up the mountain to meet with the Lord God, who told him to say to the people, You saw what I did in Egypt, and you know how I brought you here to me, just as a mighty eagle carries its young. Now, if you will faithfully obey me, you will be my very own people. The whole world is mine, but you will be my holy nation and serve me as priests. Moses, that is what you must tell the Israelites. After Moses went back, he reported to the leaders what the Lord had said, and they promised, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." So Moses told the Lord about this. The Lord said to Moses, "I will come to you in a thick cloud, and let the people hear me speak to you. Then they will always trust you." Again Moses reported to the people what the Lord had told him. Once more the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go back and tell the people that today and tomorrow they must get themselves ready to meet me. They must wash their clothes and be ready by the day after tomorrow, when I will come down to Mount Sinai, where all of them can see me. Warn the people that they are forbidden to touch any part of the mountain. Anyone who does will be put to death, either with stones or arrows, and no one must touch the body of a person killed in this way. Even an animal that touches this mountain must be put to death. You may go up the mountain only after a signal is given on the trumpet." After Moses went down the mountain, he gave orders for the people to wash their clothes and make themselves acceptable to worship God. He told them to be ready in 3 days and not to have sex in the meantime. The Lord comes to Mount Sinai. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning. A thick cloud covered the mountain, a loud trumpet blast was heard, and everyone in camp trembled with fear. Moses led them out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had come down in a flaming fire. Smoke poured out of the mountain just like a furnace, and the whole mountain shook. The trumpet blew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down to the top of Mount Sinai and told Moses to meet him there. Then he said, "Moses, go and warn the people not to cross the boundary that you set at the foot of the mountain.